Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a four-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Going to give you some thoughts on Big Ben returning to the Pittsburgh Steelers and why people are being too extreme in both directions about that coming up in just a second. But as always, want to hear from you at 855-212-4227. And Anthony in Chicago. Anthony, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on?
Hey, Robin. How we doing? First-time caller, long-time listener. I appreciate what you do on these Saturdays.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm calling to talk about wrestling, and I just thought you guys talked about some fantastic times already, but one of my favorite matches with celebrities happened to be a loser shaves head match between Vince McMahon and Umaga, and then Bobby Lashley and former President Trump. I thought that was fantastic. He's actually a WWE Hall of Famer as well.
I remember. I know because I was at WrestleMania 2013. I think it was 2013 at MetLife Stadium, and man, he got booed vociferously upon being entered into the Hall of Fame, and that was before obviously everything that's taken place since then. And you've had a lot of, I think particularly in Mick Foley has been campaigning to get him removed from the WWE Hall of Fame. I will say the WWE Hall of Fame is the easiest one to get into. Like, right, Anthony, the standards of getting into the WWE Hall of Fame are not high. It's like make an appearance at the WWE.
Yeah, not too difficult.
You're in the Hall of Fame. That's,
I think Drew Carey is in there even from The Price is Right.
I think that is correct as well. Thank you for the... Go ahead.
Yeah, that just goes to show how easy it is to get into that. But I just thought that was an interesting moment. Politics aside, I thought that was an entertaining storyline. And at the time, it would have been interesting to see either Vince or Don's head shaved for sure. So I thought that was cool. And I thought Lashley and Umaga were two great competitors to make it happen.
Well, Lashley's the champ now, one of the champs now. And thanks for the call. I personally don't really want to discuss that guy too much, but that was a different time, and obviously people feel it wasn't the same level of polarization or passion or emotion that were invoked by him at that point in time. Like I said, he was booed in 2013. Foley's trying to get him out of the Hall of Fame, but no one was thinking about that back at that period of time. He was viewed in a completely different light. Bobby Lashley's the champion. Right now, I think he just beat The Miz, right? So I don't know who he's going to fight at WrestleMania, but the big events at WrestleMania at the moment are Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair and Edge against Roman Reigns. But I said at the top I was going to get to Ben Roethlisberger going back to Pittsburgh. And here's the thing. Does Roethlisberger look good at the moment or close or near his prime? Absolutely not, right? Absolutely not. I mean, I don't think anybody is looking at Ben Roethlisberger's recent play and saying, this guy is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, or this guy should strike fear into the hearts of opposing defenses. But I saw a lot of talk after the Steelers restructured his contract, and it was determined he would come back, like saying he's the worst quarterback in the division, or the other teams in the division should be celebrating. That's also ridiculous. Just like it's ridiculous to say, oh, Roethlisberger's back, put the Steelers in the Super Bowl, this guy, you know, is still a great player. That's ridiculous. So is the rest of the teams in that division should be celebrating. That's also ridiculous. Because the problem with the Steelers, and with Roethlisberger and the Steelers specifically, is they don't have his successor. You know, if they had his successor, or there was a natural successor for Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, then they would have probably moved on. Right? That would probably have already happened. Mason Rudolph is not that guy. That has been shown, I think, and if not proven. And it's hard to find quarterbacks. It's one of the reasons quarterbacks get paid as much as they do. It's one of the reasons Dak Prescott, you know, and that contract situation continues to go on and on and on and on, never ending. Because, you know, he wants to be paid behind Patrick Mahomes, right? And people reacted to that when that was put out there. Dak Prescott wants to be close to Patrick Mahomes in money. I mean, before the Patrick Mahomes deal, every quarterback that signed a new deal would set the market. They'd be the highest paid quarterback of all time. Every single time, almost, or right there. I mean, Jared Goff got $33 million a year. And Carson Wentz. And I think Russell Wilson signed $35 million was Wilson's deal. And Deshaun Watson, $39 million. So I actually think Dak Prescott's people are being smart and realistic in saying we want to be behind Mahomes. What they're really saying in wanting to be behind Mahomes is, of course, Patrick Mahomes is an outlier. We're not asking to break Patrick Mahomes' contract record. That would be silly and ridiculous. What we're asking for is to go back to the market before Mahomes and be the benchmark from before Mahomes, which was sort of the pattern that we had seen when quarterbacks signed. And it's one of, you know, like, these quarterbacks that sign these big deals, there's certainly the worry that the rest of the team building is tough to do at that point. And that's a fair concern. And it's a valid, you know, counterargument to signing a QB to a big deal. But the reason the QBs get the big deals is because they're not easy to find. And plenty of teams are searching for quarterbacks forever. So the Steelers don't have Ben Roethlisberger's successor in-house. So to act like teams should be celebrating because he's back, were the Steelers going to be better without him? No. No. You know, I don't think they should be scared that he's returning, but they shouldn't be celebrating that he's back. The Steelers did win the division last year. Just because they didn't play well at the end of the season doesn't make that untrue. The Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns were both also in that division, and the Steelers won it. You know, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season as a head coach, even when Mason Rudolph was his quarterback. They're 8-8. So, I think this is one of those situations where we really have a hard time, and it shouldn't be that hard, to be honest with you. It shouldn't be that hard time, hard a time, but we really have a hard time dealing with anything that's not extremes. You know, if it's either trash or goat. You're either the best or you're the worst. Ben Roethlisberger is neither of those things. He's fine. That's where he is at the moment. He's no longer good. I wouldn't say, oh, Ben Roethlisberger's a good quarterback at this point in time, but he's a pro. He knows what he's doing. He's better than replacement level. And, you know, not like he had a terrible season last year. 33 touchdowns, 10 picks, 66% completion percentage. Again, tailed off at the end of the year. But he is certainly a better option than the alternative. And therefore, the idea that the other team should be celebrating is ridiculous. I don't think they should be shaking in their boots either. But you look at that division, I mean, to me, the two best divisions in the NFL are the AFC North and the NFC West. In the NFC West, we'll see what happens with Russell Wilson in Seattle. But that division, I could make the case for every team in that division. San Francisco was so injured last year that you can't really fairly judge them. And they're only a year removed from being in the Super Bowl. The Rams upgraded at quarterback, getting Matthew Stafford. The Seahawks, I mean, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, that team has been consistently in the mix every single year. Again, I have to see what happens with Russ, but until something does happen with him, then I put Seattle in the mix. And then the Cardinals are kind of on the come up, right? I mean, they won 5 games, then they won 8 games. And I would assume their trajectory would continue to move in that direction. They get J.J. Watt to pair with Chandler Jones on the defense. I mean, J.J. Watt, again, it's another one of those things. It's just like the Roethlisberger situation where people, they like to deal in extremes. He's not the defensive player of the year anymore. Neither is he washed. J.J. Watt was Pro Football Focus's 7th highest graded pass rusher, edge rusher last year. So he still brings something. With Chandler Jones, that's fearsome. Kyler Murray, you would expect to take another positive move forward. And he was already very good. So I can make the case for all those teams. And then the AFC North, I mean, Joe Burrow, he has to come back from injury. And until he's back and fully healthy and they build around him, the Bengals are clearly at the bottom of the totem pole there. But the rest of those teams are dead even and good. And the Bengals aren't like a guaranteed win, especially if Burrow's there. The rest of those teams, though, are right next to one another. Baker Mayfield and the Browns have proven themselves. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and then now Roethlisberger back with the Steelers. I don't know. How would you rank the QBs in that? I think Lamar Jackson, I put at number one. Clearly right now. Baker Mayfield, number two. Roethlisberger, number three. And then there's a degree of respect, however you feel about Ben Roethlisberger, that should probably come with what he's proven thus far in his career. And, I mean, maybe even I'm being a little harsh on him because I look at the difference between the Steelers with Rudolph and the Steelers with Roethlisberger, and it's a big difference. 8-8 to 12-3 this year when he played. So I know he struggled a little bit at the end of the season. I know he's not quite where he was in his prime. And I know we just saw stuff like, you know, with Drew Brees looking finished in the playoffs, and Roethlisberger has shown some signs of that with the arm strength at various points. But I feel like people were way too extreme about Ben Roethlisberger's return to Pittsburgh. How should the rest of the AFC North feel about that? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Then there was that Drew Brees video, right? The workout video, did that come out last weekend? I think it was last weekend now, where his trainer put out a video of Drew Brees working out really hard. And we all sort of expected Drew Brees to retire and for it to be it for him. And I do wonder, you know, not that one workout video proves he's coming back or anything. That remains to be seen. But I would have expected that announcement already, and we haven't gotten it. And it's got to be hard for someone like him to go out seemingly the way he's going to go out if indeed he does decide to hang it up, you know, with that game against Tampa where he was just awful. Just awful. I mean, when you're one of the, you know, better quarterbacks of all time, I'd say, for me, Drew Brees is like top 10-ish. I don't think he's top 5 or anything like that. Top 10-ish. But when you're at that level, you know, you don't want that to be the lasting memory people have of him. But I think the question with Drew Brees and the Saints is different than the Steelers. The Steelers are obviously better off with Ben Roethlisberger back. Obviously, clearly. The Saints, you could make the case they're not better off with Drew Brees back if he were to decide to come back. You know, because they got Jameis Winston there, and we know Sean Payton and what he's able to do. We got Taysom Hill there. Is it one of those guys? Is it both of those guys? You know, where do they plan to go with quarterback? Is Russell Wilson a legitimate possibility for them? I don't know how they do that with their cap space, but that's of the teams that were on his list. That's the one that's like, whoa, that would be dangerous. And we've seen how the Saints have performed without Drew Brees. I mean, they were good with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback, and I would say Teddy Bridgewater is a serviceable NFL quarterback. They played well with Taysom Hill there, and Taysom Hill hasn't proven he can throw like an NFL quarterback. So that's a different question, whether the Saints would be better or worse off if Drew Brees returned at 855-212-4227. But lots of quarterback queries in the NFL right now. So you can discuss Ben Roethlisberger and how the AFC North should feel about him coming back at 855-212-4227, whether the Saints would be better or worse off if Drew Brees came back at 855-212-4227. And then, of course, the possibility of Russell Wilson being on the move, which I think is not out of the question, which is wild to me.
The ongoing saga with Dak Prescott and his contract.
Yeah, I forgot it. Yeah, Dak Prescott and the contract. I saw somebody, I think it was Andrew Marchand from the New York Post tweet the other day, who cares more about Dak Prescott's contract? Was it Dak Prescott or the media or something like that? And it's wild because it's been going on forever. Now we're two off seasons in. But I said before, like, you compare Dak Prescott to Patrick Mahomes, that whole thing was wildly, that's another thing, it was wildly blown out of proportion. Dak Prescott wants to be paid right behind Patrick Mahomes. Of course he does. He wants to be paid what the market value was before the Mahomes contract. He's not asking for the Mahomes contract. That's an outlier. Mahomes is an outlier. But every damn quarterback who signed a new deal would set a record-breaking deal before that. Why wouldn't he ask for that? It makes no sense otherwise. Dak Prescott gets graded on an unfair scale for some reason. I don't know if it's because he's the Cowboys quarterback. I don't know what it is. But I feel like if he was anybody else, nobody's questioning Carson Wentz's contract. Dak Prescott's outperformed him. I mean, people do question the contract that the Eagles gave him, given they traded him, but everybody act like they just traded a superstar when he got to the Colts. I mean, Dak Prescott's been damn good in his career, so I don't get that one too much. But yeah, that one's on the table as well. The quarterback saga of this offseason is plentiful. 855-212-4227, just like the MVP conversation in the NBA. Plentiful. The quarterback saga in the offseason in the NFL is plentiful. It is the Robert Ludberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
The Robin Lundberg Show. Call Robin at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
And you could be just like Michael in South Carolina. Michael, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Good morning, Robin. The reason why Jerry Jones hasn't signed Dak yet, he's going to make a run and try to get Drew Brees. So that's the holdup, and he doesn't want to do a big deal with Dak yet, unless he's going to try and get Drew Brees. That's what's up.
Why would he do that? Dak Prescott is significantly better than Drew Brees right now.
I don't know.
Yes, he is.
Dak wants a 4-year deal, and Jerry is not going to give him a 4-year deal. That was the hold up the last 2 years.
Well, I mean, I guess you could make the argument that someone on a more team friendly contract could be better for the long term than Dak, but just in a vacuum, Dak Prescott is significantly better than Drew Brees as long as he's healthy.
But in reality, he wanted Sean Payton to start with. That's the coach that he wanted. That's, you know, but he couldn't get him. So I don't know. I mean, I just don't see them getting a deal done. I really don't. I don't think they're sold on Dak for whatever reason. I don't know.
It's been a long time. Well, I mean, again, the argument of a quarterback taking up that much of your cap and it being
too much.
Sure, and
he could get Breeze for probably $20 million for a 2-year contract. I don't think Breeze is retiring. I really don't. Not until the season starts. And he's not playing.
I'm just not sure that makes sense. I just don't think Breeze is good anymore. And thanks for the call. I just don't think so. So Dallas can do that if they want. That's the other part of the problem. It goes back to the Roethlisberger thing. Okay. If you don't want to bring Roethlisberger back, what is your other option? Because they don't have a better one. And if the Cowboys don't want to pay Dak Prescott, okay, then what is your other option? And that's the dilemma because, yes, it could be handicap your roster if you sign a quarterback to a huge deal. At the same time, I mean, I think Dak Prescott's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. I mean, I'd say he's like near the top of tier two. If we're separating the guys that we think are the truly best quarterbacks in the league, and you get to the next group, he's at the top of that. And what's your alternative? I mean, we saw the Cowboys without Dak this year. I just want them to finish that up, really, because I'm tired of it. So, I mean, maybe you guys want to join in that campaign. We can start the campaign here. Get Dak Prescott situation resolved ASAP, whether it's him signing a contract or all parties moving on or whatever franchise. I don't know what it is, but I can't take it anymore. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, you're up next on the show. What's up?
What's poppin', Robin? Thanks for taking my call. Seattle, they don't have anybody better to replace Wilson. It's not like Joe Montana with Steve Young. They'd be crazy to trade him. He's still in his prime. They just have to add pieces. Not that I'm a Seattle fan. And with Sam Donald, I want to see him in Denver or San Francisco. He's got to get out of that. He has to get away from that team. I mean, I don't know what the Jets are thinking. They're going to get a first-round pick. The way they had him operating with all the drama there, it wasn't much of Sam's fault there, other than him getting injured.
Well, I don't want to say it's Sam Darnold's fault, and thanks for the call as always, Mitch. I don't want to say it's Sam Darnold's fault, but I haven't seen enough from Sam Darnold for me to be a believer in Sam Darnold either. Clearly he was not put in a great position to succeed. I mean, that's true. That's fair. At the same time, I didn't even see many glimpses, to be honest. Perhaps, you know, there's somebody who knows more than me out there, a better QB savant, coach, what have you, who believes in the right system with the right coaching, right tutelage, Darnold is salvageable. I just haven't really seen it either. So, you know, I can both think that he wasn't put in the best position to succeed and also not necessarily think he's the answer for anybody at the same time until it's at least proven to me. How about Robert in Chicago? Robert, you're up next on the show. What's up?
Hey, Robin. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. All right, so putting aside that the Bears are the worst-owned team in team sports, pro team sports, and the last great quarterback or the greatest quarterback of all time, the Bears, was Sid Luckman 70-plus years ago, you're the GM. What do you do?
What do you mean, what do I do? About what?
Mitch is a quarterback. Mitch isn't the quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Mitch, Sid Luckman's not going to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
Mitch isn't the quarterback. Foles isn't the quarterback. I'm obviously a lifelong frustrated Bears fan. What do you do? I mean, Wilson's not leaving Seattle.
Well, that's the first. I mean, like, look, given the current landscape, the first thing I do is get on the phone with Seattle. That's the first thing I do, and see if that's even possible. I'm not saying it is either. I'm not. I don't want to get Bears fans' hopes up, but that is the first thing I do is get on the phone and see if I could possibly get Russell Wilson. He put them on the list, apparently, right? So that's job number one. Beyond that, it's tough sledding, right? Same goes with Deshaun Watson, by the way. If he's available in the trade market, that's the second call I place. But you've been, you know, specifically named when it comes to Russell Wilson. So that is my number one priority if I'm them, even if it's an outside chance. What you get to beyond that is the problem, and that is it isn't easy. You know, you can't exactly just magically make a better quarterback situation appear. Beyond Russell Wilson or drafting another QB that you think you can develop, you kind of have to run it back. There aren't too many other guys out there available, and that's the dilemma the Bears are facing, and it's why, you know, a Chicago Bears fan like yourself would be rightfully frustrated. But the first thing I do is try to get Russell Wilson, because I don't think it's out of the question that, you know, Wilson gets traded at this point. I think it's close to I wouldn't say 50-50, but it's a lot better than, like, 10% or 5%. It's like, you know, 30-40% that he gets traded, I think, at this point. I'll say 30%. That's a good enough odds when he's put you on the list where that's number one. How do we make this happen? Get us Russell Wilson. And there's been reports that he really likes the Chicago Bears. I don't know what the exact allure is for him. But that's a place where you can be a legend for sure. I talked to Russell Wilson right before the Super Bowl, and clearly I think one thing that has irritated him is he does not feel he is viewed as good as he views himself. And he's viewed very well, right? But he views himself very highly, and I say that in a complimentary way. He should. So if he wants to elevate his status or stature in the game, that Chicago fan base will do it for you. The Bears. I mean, we all know that still to this day, right? Any success you have with the Chicago Bears will immortalize you.
Robin Lundberg is on the air. You're welcome. Here's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm talking some football, and joining me now to do some more, Cody Benjamin, CBS Sports NFL writer. And Cody, I want to go through some of the quarterback situations kind of one by one with you. And let's start with Russell Wilson, because I think that's become the maybe sexiest topic since Deshaun Watson has been going on for a while. What's the deal with the Bears stuff? Is that, you know, just because the Bears are in need of a quarterback, he's on the list? Obviously, it would make sense for the Bears to make that their number one priority at this point. Or do you think there's actually more to the idea of Russell Wilson winding up in Chicago?
Yeah, Robin, first of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I think that, Chicago obviously is kind of the black sheep of that bunch of the four teams that his agent publicly identified preferred landing spots. I think it's possible there's a little more, whether it's connections to the front office, connections to the staff. But honestly, I think part of it is the legacy idea. I think that, you know, The Athletic, when they came out with that big report about kind of his unrest in Seattle, and this has kind of been, you know, floated elsewhere as well. You know, part of the reason Russell Wilson is unhappy is because, you know, he believes he's a certain caliber quarterback, and he thinks that Seattle, maybe in their actions or their words, doesn't maybe value him quite as highly. And so I think that, you know, a place like Chicago presents an opportunity where you don't necessarily have a big name that's been at quarterback there for a while. And so, you know, it's easier said than done to go to another city, let alone a franchise that right now has a general manager and coach that, you know, might not last beyond the season. But there's a window there, or I guess I shouldn't say there's a clean slate idea there, I think, as opposed to, you know, a place like the Saints where you're going and you're filling Drew Brees' shoes. Chicago, they're desperate. They would pay. I think that they would try and build around him if they had the ability to do that. And more so, I think it's just a place to go to a pretty big market in Chicago and become kind of the face of that city.
Well, yeah, with the third biggest market in the country, right? New York, LA, Chicago, and the Bears. I guess you instantly become a legend, right, by performing in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that the Bears. I think also you could look at kind of the pieces that they've had on defense. I mean, even changing coordinators over these past few years. I mean, their defense has been competitive. I mean, they've been a fringe playoff contender, which, you know, frankly, Seattle has been that the last few years as well. They've just delivered better. So I think that, you know, he sees maybe the potential there. Again, I think it's going to be hard for everyone to look at that list and say that the Bears belong in the same conversation as those other teams he's identified. But, the Raiders, they could fit in there as well. I mean, that's a similar case where the Raiders haven't been world beaters lately. They just have a hot market in Las Vegas. They have a coach you might like to play for in John Gruden. And they have maybe an organization that'd be willing to build around him.
Robin Lundberg talking to Cody Benjamin, CBS Sports NFL writer here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's go to the Dak Prescott never-ending contract negotiations, whatever they are, with the Cowboys. And, there was the thing this week about Prescott wanting to be paid right behind Patrick Mahomes, which I think was much ado about nothing. You know, in the past, every time a new quarterback signed a deal, it was the record-breaking deal. And this, to me, is them saying, of course, Mahomes is an outlier. We're not going to get that. But let's go back to what the market was before Mahomes was signed to that deal. How do you see this being resolved? Because, you know, usually my instinct was the team and him are going to reach a deal, but they still haven't by now. How do you think we ultimately see that worked out?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think it's the closer we get to free agency, I think we're approaching, there's two scenarios here. I mean, I don't think that as fun as a kind of a tag and trade and kind of swallow the medicine this offseason and get him somewhere like Chicago or Vegas, as fun as that would be, I don't think that's on the table, at least, you know, feasibly. So I think we're approaching, there's two routes here. I think one is they do get the deal done. They finally decide that they're going to stop playing the Kirk Cousins game and commit to the guy that they believe in. The other option is he plays under the tag and he leaves next year. I think that there's just no scenario where, you know, if he plays under the tag again, you're looking at going into 2022, a salary that would most likely be around $40 million. And so when you're looking at, like you mentioned, the Patrick Mahomes number for contract extension, you know, his camp is probably looking at that number and saying, look, if you guys just keep tagging us, I mean, we're going to end up at this number. That has to be a starting point for, you know, the average per year on a big extension. So, I mean, ultimately, you just, like you said, I think you wonder, there's no way, you know, that Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, the Cowboys are going to let this guy get away. But then again, we've made it to this point. And I think we said similar things about Kirk Cousins in Washington. Clearly, you know, I think the upside was lower with Kirk Cousins, but he was putting up decent numbers enough to get, you know, the first fully guaranteed contract for a quarterback on the free agent market. And so, I think it's either they get the deal done before free agency and he's locked up, or he's playing under the tag and he's committed to hitting free agency and cashing in elsewhere in 2022.
Let's move on to Ben Roethlisberger and him restructuring his deal to come back to Pittsburgh. To me, there's been a lot of, like, extremes with that one. I don't think Roethlisberger is near the top of the league of quarterbacks anymore. Far from it, right? At the same time, people were like, well, the other teams in the division should celebrate now. That doesn't make any sense to me because the Steelers don't have a successor for him, and it's not like they're better off without Roethlisberger. They did win the division last year. What do you make of his renegotiation and where the Steelers are with him at quarterback and where they are going forward into the future, considering they don't have, you know, the answer behind him at quarterback?
Yeah, so I'm with you as far as, you know, judging Ben Roethlisberger's talent at this juncture of his career. You know, going into 2021, I think it's unwise to lean into either of those extremes as far as, you know, Big Ben is his Super Bowl caliber self or he's just completely washed. I think that we saw a little bit of both of those things, even in just his last game, the playoff game. I mean, looked like he was on track for the worst performance of his playoff career, you know, throwing the four picks against the Browns. He ended up bringing them pretty close against Cleveland in the second half. But I do think that the reason for the extremes, I think there's a good reason behind why there are those extremes, because at the end of the day, even if Big Ben is not elite and he's not washed up, he's just a good quarterback. The problem with the Steelers is they're entering, what has to be a make or break season, because by bringing him back, you are delaying that reset. Whether it's that quarterback or the rest of the roster. I mean, their defense is built up pretty well still. But the cap situation with them, they're working to adjust guys. Ben's taking the reduced pay. But the tough thing is, if your quarterback is coming back, approaching 40 after this past season, you have to be all in on going for that championship this year. And unless they're making other huge sacrifices, like letting all of their free agents, including Bud Dupree, guys that they want back, unless they're letting all of them walk, they just aren't going to have the flexibility to bring in reinforcements that would help a championship run. And so you're really banking on Ben Roethlisberger to swing that pendulum back to the elite side, or you're banking on drafting a running back high and bulldozing your way through the playoffs. There's just a lot of things that have to go the Steelers' way for this to work out, because after this year, they're going to be faced with some tough questions about how they kind of rebuild the entire roster.
Robin Lundberg talking to Cody Benjamin, CBS Sports NFL writer here on CBS Sports Radio. What about Drew Brees? It seemed he was clearly going to announce his retirement. That felt like the way the winds were blowing. It has not happened yet. What makes you wonder if it's going to happen? Because I would have expected it to happen a few weeks ago, I guess, by now. There's the workout video that came out. And then there's just the natural, understandable notion that maybe he wouldn't want to go out the way that he went out. Do you think the Saints would be better or worse off if Drew Brees decided to come back?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a tough one, because I guess what's the alternative? I mean, if you're looking at if it's Jameis Winston, I mean, that's no one really knows what he's going to give you in 16 games with that supporting cast. I mean, we saw him throw a really pretty pass in the playoffs. We also saw Taysom Hill, basically run that show, not particularly well, I guess. But, if Jameis Winston is the alternative, I think there's, a lower floor but a higher ceiling, because, Drew Brees' arm strength, the guy could get it done last year. He was able to get through games. He was able to manage some games well. But it's clear that, the physical condition – has gone down. I mean, Drew Brees himself, I think his teammates, Malcolm Jenkins, guys like that, have gone out and talked about how, this has started to take a toll on Drew Brees. And so just the idea of him having to come back, go through an off season, go through, training camp again, I just think that it's more than likely. I think that we're reading a little too much into the workout video and such. I think he's still going to retire. But are they better off? I mean, it's going to be tough, because their cap situation is going to dictate that the successor either comes in free agency as one of those guys you're paying, mid-tier money, like Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, somebody like that, or it's going to come in the draft, and that's also a total unknown. I think that the possibilities are exciting, but, if you're a Saints fan, I don't think you should be banking on an improvement at quarterback.
And then one non-quarterback topic, J.J. Watt choosing the Cardinals. That was big news, of course. What did you make of that decision, and what do you think it does for the Cardinals?
The decision itself, I mean, to me it reads, I know J.J. Watt will, he said there's a lot of reasons he went to Arizona. I know there was talk a lot during his free agency about him wanting to go out with a contender. I mean, to me it's pretty simple. The guy's towards the end of his career. He got a lot of money in a good destination. He gets to go to sunny Arizona. To be frank, I was a little surprised at the money he got. I know it's up to, 30 plus million. It's more like 28 million, but still that's quite a bit of money. I know that JJ Watt is a big name, and he's had some great seasons, but the resume, the durability issues, I mean, they're there. I mean, the Cardinals, I don't know that they are a J.J. Watt at his current condition. They're not a J.J. Watt away from winning the Super Bowl. They're a Cliff Kingsbury fixing the offense to make it more simple. Kyler Murray making less forced throws. They're that stuff away. from winning a championship. So I think it's certainly, you know, the idea of J.J. Watt opposite Chandler Jones on what's going to look like a little bit of a different defense in Arizona, it certainly makes them better. But I think it's more so a victory for J.J. Watt, you know, getting that money, getting to go play in that city. So, you know, I was a little bit surprised, I guess, that he didn't end up with, you know, more of a playoff contender. I know there was whispers afterward that a team like the Steelers was trying to manipulate the cap to get him in, reunite him with his brothers. But, yeah, to me, I think it just says money and destination really was kind of the talking factor there.
Cody, appreciate your time and insight this morning, man. Have a good rest of your weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much, Robin. Appreciate it.
Cody Benjamin, CBS Sports NFL writer, just joined myself, Robin Lundberg, here on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, any portion of the show you missed, you can grab the podcast version. That is at cbssportsradio.com or radio.com, wherever you get your podcasts. 855-212-4227 is the phone number if you want to weigh in on any of those topics we just discussed out of the NFL. The idea of Russell Wilson to the Bears, that does seem to be picking up steam. What do you think of that? Does that change the dynamics of the NFL? Or does it just put Russ in a situation to get his own shine? 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter if you want to hit me up there. That's RobinLundberg. Plus, there was something that was said not to be slanderous that may have been perhaps the most truthfully disrespectful comment I've ever heard. I'll tell you what that was and play for you, hopefully, coming up. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.